It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Two different ones for you, Tyler. You want a baseball or a football question?
Oh, let's start baseball for sure.
All right.
Let me finish on the one I'll sound smart.
Mount Palumbis, am I wrong for being a bigger fan of Nolan and the Cardinals than the Rockies?
Mount Palumbis.
Hey, come on down. What's your name? Come on down to the studio. If you're lucky enough, I might let you wear this Nolan Arenado jersey that's hanging behind me that D-Mac was kind enough to gift to me.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I'm not telling you to be a bigger fan of the Cardinals than the Rockies, but
no.
I'm not a bigger fan of the Cardinals than the Rockies. I don't follow the Cardinals at all, but I am a fan of Nolan, and I certainly do track his progress. So, no, if you're mad at the Rockies, you've got every reason in the world to be mad at the Rockies.
I wish you checked
in. Even D-Mac is starting to get a little bit mad at the Rockies.
Well, you know, when we had Spilly on and I pointed out 9 of the 12 losses have been by 2 runs or less.
Why did you, like, what was the point of pointing that out?
That actually bad teams lose close games.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like a... on one hand, okay, we're competitive.
Like, you're a professional team. You should be competitive. You right. should have the majority of your games come down to 2 or 3 runs.
Bad teams figure out how to lose.
Correct. Yeah.
That's kind of where I was going.
Oh, okay.
With, all right, here we go. Our Ryan McMahon, Nolan Arenado comparison. Maybe we could do this on Mondays to see how everybody's doing over the weekends. You know, which is kind of weird now because, you know, well, maybe you don't know. McMahon's not really playing third base now. He's kind of, it's Fuentes, Nolan's cousin's really playing third base. McMahon's playing more second these days. So it's kind of a weird comparison because they're not really even playing the same position.
But that was the original bit.
It was. So Nolan is hitting 271. He's got 10 ribbies, 4 home runs. His on base percentage is 525. OPS is 854. Alright. They're doing alright. They're actually struggling a tad. The Cardinals are right now. They're in third place and they're 7-8. So they're actually not doing so hot. Our guy Ryan McMahon is hitting 267. So he is under Nolan by a pinch. He has RBI has 10 RBI, so same as Nolan. He has 6 home runs, which is more than Nolan. He has a 912 OPS, which is higher than Nolan. Uh-oh.
We got a pretty good race going
okay.
on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. There's that comparison. By the way, the numbers on Ryan McMahon are by far the best on the team. We got some horrible numbers on the Rockies.
Duh.
I mean, we got some nightmare numbers. We got Sam Hilliard in 29 at bats. He's hitting 103. CJ Cron in 44 at bats is hitting 182. Josh Fuentes, good thing I'm not using him as a comparison. Nolan's cousin's hitting 159. I mean, it's ugly. Charlie Blackman's hitting 191.
Yeah. Does he have a dinger yet? I don't think so.
Chuck has one
He's
home run.
He's got one?
Trevor Story does not have a home run.
Oh, okay.
What game was it? Oh, man. It was kind of early on. No, I mean, Trevor, no home runs. Charlie, one. Trevor only has 5 RBI. Charlie has 7. You can tell.
They're bad.
They're terrible.
The team's bad.
I mean, even your best players are terrible. But you can tell with Story, you can just tell it's... He knows it's all on him. It looks like it's all on him.
Mm.
And then he's getting some bad breaks, too, because he's hitting the ball kind of hard, and it doesn't matter. All right, let's get to the football question. If Fields goes 3, would you take Trey Lance or Mac Jones if one of them fell to 9? Do you think either one is better than Locke?
Mount Palumbis.
Well, that's a good question. I would not select Mac Jones. I don't see it. Hey, man, I trust Kyle Shanahan, and if that's his guy, Kyle knows more about quarterback play than I do. I'm just telling you my own personal opinion. I don't see it with Mac Jones. I don't understand what the hype is all about. I don't see a particular skill set that he is significantly better than Drew Locke at. The Trey Lance one, now that one would really test me. Because first off, I don't think the Trey Lance would ever fall to number nine. But if he were to fall to number nine, that would really test me because he is a boom or bust prospect. I see the potential there, and the potential is sky high. He could end up being the best quarterback in this year's draft when it's all said and done if he gets to the right situation. I don't think the Broncos are the right situation for him. However, if he fell to number nine, I would take him, and I would just accept the fact that we are on a three-year horizon here, not a two, because you're going to reset all this in a year's time. You're going to bring in the right coordinator for him next year. You're going to bring in the system that is going to be correct for him, and he's going to need a year from that point on to develop. And now it's year three that you're really hoping for any sort of return at all, if not year four. So I don't think he would be good for Pat Shurmur. However, I would select him and just accept the fact that in a year's time, I'm going to replace my coordinators and I'm going to get him the right system and just be like, okay, look, this is a long-term deal here and it's not going to materialize over the next year or two.
All right, I have my own Mount Palumas question.
All right.
Tyler, when John Elway's in those draft meetings,
mm-hmm.
What do you think he's really thinking about?
Oh, man. I saw the Mike Kliss tweet. He put a photo out there of John Elway. But he did make sure to go out of his way to emphasize that George Payton was running the show. Ooh. So Elway's just sitting in those meetings now like the rest of us slappies. Like every time my head coach was talking, and I'm sitting there like, oh, man. Got to pick up some milk on the way home or else my wife's going to be pretty ticked off at me. Just really have to go for an hour. Could you make your appointment 15 minutes? You probably could. Look, how many times do we have to talk about the same player? I've already given you my evaluation. You've given your evaluation. The second pro day is not going to change anything. Why are we even going?
Ryan O'Halloran said in his article today in the Denver Post that they talked about one player for an hour.
Oof. Yeah. Boy. Guys, this guy's going to be off the board at number three. Why are we talking about him for an hour? Do you think I could get $6 million without even showing up? Do I have to be here? That's what I'd be thinking.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
Good for you, bud.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Hold on. Go find the Bouncing Souls version of this. Go find it.
In our pre-show meeting today, Richie is incredible. Got a new haircut. Smells nice. Dressed up. Looks beautiful.
Yes.
And
he always does.
I felt a little bit like John Elway had a draft meeting when he was going through why this soccer story was a big deal. I mean, it's like, why does this matter? So, Richie, I'm going to give you a chance to just keep the music. Please explain what the hell's going on and why this matters.
Well, I'm admittedly not a huge soccer follower, but I think this story is a big deal because I think you're not grasping the gravity of what it could mean if this concept spreads to other sports.
We did get a text saying it's the most important story in the world today. Why aren't we talking about it? So, well, here we are.
Yeah, well, you have 12 of the biggest soccer clubs in the world essentially formally announcing that they intend to secede from their current club affiliation and form what they're calling a Super League, in which the 15 founding members and then five additional qualifying teams.
So this is the EPL, the English Premier League.
This is, yeah, teams from the Premier League, okay, but also teams from Serie A and Spanish clubs.
Oh, my bad.
It's all of Europe.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sorry.
It's all of Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the majority of the teams are in the Premier League. But yeah, they're all banding together and
saying, best teams in Europe, basically.
Correct.
Screw these leagues. We're just going to start our own league.
Right.
Yes, because they know they bring in the majority of the money and the fan base and the popularity compared to the other teams, and they think that they should be entitled to more money.
It's always one of us winning the championship anyway, so what's the difference?
Right, so they think they should be entitled to more money and not what FIFA and their other leagues kind of take from them. So by creating this Super League and having their own championship and their own playoff and their own cup, basically, they're going to accomplish that, even if it means being barred or banned from playing for their country in the World Cup or other teams.
We dare you. Oh, wow, all right, that's pretty big. Is this happening?
There's meetings going on all over the place over the last couple of mornings, and a handful of these 12 teams have already made formal declarations to their governing bodies.
You know what? They do this, I'm watching soccer.
Oh!
Because I'm a casual soccer fan, very casual soccer fan.
It's funny you say that, because I literally said earlier today, if baseball would do this, I would watch baseball. I'm not even kidding. The one thing that I've always loved about soccer over there in Europe is the relegation system. I think it's fantastic. Hey, if you think it's okay to suck, it's not. If you think it's okay to not spend money on players, it's not. If you think you're going to be in this league next year and not be competitive, you won't. You have to perform. And in any sport that does not have a salary cap, I think there should be a relegation system. So baseball, hey, Rockies, you don't want to compete? You don't want to spend money? We'll find somebody that can.
Yeah, but this isn't relegation.
I get it.
This is as if the Yankees, Red Sox, Angels, Rangers just said,
that's my whole point, though.
We don't need the Royals, the Rockies, the Mariners. We don't even need them. Rays, forget them.
That's my entire point, because there are, 10 or 12 teams in baseball that are legitimately good, and everybody else is 500 or worse.
That's it? That's all you want to see play in baseball? 12 teams?
Yep, I want 12
teams. For 162 games?
I want 12 teams that are going to go out there and compete and are going to be the best in the world. Let's go. Come on. Give me some teams that are going to actually compete. Because baseball's dumb. Because there's no salary cap. Football's fantastic. You don't need a relegation system. There's a salary cap. Parity is real. Parity is good.
This isn't even relegation, though.
No, I get it.
Throwing out the crappy teams.
I get it. I 100% get it.
Think about the potential for college football.
Baseball, I'm more or less joking about it, because I just hate baseball nobody can compete.
Obviously.
However, college athletics, this is fascinating. Like, why in the world does the SEC need the NCAAs? Why? Why do they need to have that moniker on their helmets?
Right.
They don't. Could they go out and form their own Super League with Big 10 or Big 12, whatever you want to choose? Absolutely.
And then
what could they do if they did that? Well, then they could start playing. They could pay the players. Right. They could have their own rules, their own system. They could create their own minor football league.
Are you for this? For that?
I am. Yeah. Because the way it's set up right now, NCAA is just this dictator that is controlling college athletics and telling everybody what they can and cannot do. And in reality, why does anybody need, especially football? Other sports, I get it, because you've got the championship season that goes through the NCAAs.
Right.
Why in the world does football need the NCAAs?
They don't, actually. Let me ask you this. What are, in your opinion, are like the bottom feeder SEC schools? Missouri,
Vanderbilt, for sure. I mean, I guess it depends on the sport, but if we're talking football.
Give me two. Oh, no.
Texas A&M is kind of...
A&M's got to be there.
They're up and down, depending on the year.
That's probably it. Maybe it's just Vanderbilt and Missouri, to be honest with you.
Those pop out.
Ole Miss, man.
Ole Miss, can be terrible.
Yeah, but they're still a heritage.
So Mississippi State. They can be terrible, too.
Okay. Wow. All right. Kentucky's in the SEC for football?
There you go.
Yeah, throw them out.
Yep.
All right, so you see where I'm going, because instead of those three, then you put in Penn State.
Correct.
Notre Dame.
go invite the best of the other leagues.
How many, what would be in college football the ideal number in your mind then? Let's just say they take out the bottom SEC schools. They can invite what other schools they want. What's the magic number?
Probably 12 to 14.
Oh, that little then, huh? Still that limited? I was going to say maybe 20 to 22, something like that.
Well, that's tough to call that a league because then you have to play 20 games, and in college you're not going to do that.
Oh, I see. Well, but it could, you could run it like the NFL. I mean, you don't play everybody every year, you know?
Yeah, you could create divisions.
Divisions,
within it. Sure.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you could do that.
But they would all be schools, theoretically, every year that would have a shot.
Yeah.
It'd be more exciting. Then you, I mean, the games would be unbelievable. Let me ask you a tricky question. If they were to do something like this, would any Pac-12 schools get invited?
Maybe Oregon. USC of the old. I mean, would they get invited right now? No. I mean, they've got the pedigree. They've got the history to make it.
Right.
Probably no. I mean, based off today's performance, no, there's not a team in the Pac-12 that would make it.
Yeah, but you got Notre Dame, USC. That's a big rivalry. You're probably right, though.
But see, you could look at it in a different light also. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the best, but you have to know how to make money. And if we're going to pay our players, mm-hmm. like Notre Dame, I don't care if you've got 10 years in which you're terrible at football. I know you are going to be one of the biggest money makers in college football year in, year out. So we could pay our players,
right.
And you're going to contribute towards
right.
that.
You probably would have USC, actually, because you're in Los Angeles. I mean, you wouldn't give up the second biggest media market in the country. You tell them to get better.
Sure.
You know, it kind of slipped under the radar, and we didn't really talk about it last week. But I don't know if you guys caught it. And either they voted on it or they're proposing it. Transferring without penalty.
Oh, no, that's done. That's a done deal.
It got done?
Yeah, that's a done deal. Absolutely.
So now you don't need to be a graduate transfer.
Correct.
You just and this is not just football and basketball. It's for, like, anything. Like, the NCAA is a hair away from just paying the players right now. Because this essentially makes every college athlete a free agent. Before, you had to sit out a year or be a graduate transfer. Now what? Just go?
Yeah, this is good. This is the first step towards players getting a little bit of control back in college athletics. And, you know, it's only one, you can only do it one time, so you can't transfer four times,
mm-hmm.
but you get a one-time free transfer. You can change any schools at any point in your career, and you don't have to sit out a year.
Complete chaos.
Right. The bus might benefit from this because, I'm trying to blank on the kid's name right now, but he was a quarterback transfer from Tennessee, and he was going to have to sit out a year, but now he's eligible to play right away.
Right. I mean, it's essentially for basketball and football, just for that. Like, you got four five-star recruits at quarterback at Alabama, right? Well, okay. After a year, now you can, you know, go to Colorado or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks if you're the third or fourth string kid from Colorado hoping to make your way up. All of a sudden, you think you're working your way up and...
Well, does it suck? I mean, in reality, you probably never were going to, I mean, I know Mac Jones did it, but in reality, you probably were never going to become the starter. So it's actually an opportunity for you to get out of a bad situation.
Well, let's face it, it was crap anyways, because there were exceptions to every rule. Like, how did Justin Fields go from Georgia right to Ohio State and not have to sit out a year? He wasn't a graduate transfer. There was some sort of...
There were always hardships.
Right.
How you were awarded it, I never fully understood, but... Now it's simple.
Baseball, you can
transfer.
Baseball actually doesn't make sense for what you said. But college football, yeah. Like, seriously, why do they need...
Why would relegation not make sense in baseball? So I know relegation is separate from this conversation.
Oh, relegation?
But what I was referring to with baseball is relegation. If you're not going to pay to play...
Hey, you know what? If
you don't want to compete, don't get to play.
I get it. If you went from 30... You'd have to develop a active minor league system that could compete at the same level to go up and down.
Well, that would naturally develop by the teams that got kicked out.
Right. So yes. You'd have to reduce the amount of teams in Major League Baseball from 30 to, say, I don't know, 20, I guess, or maybe 24, something like that.
Yeah.
And then those six teams that didn't make it... Because you still have some crazy expenses and facilities and scheduling, you know what I mean? Like, the drop down from Major League Baseball, Tyler, to AAA is like, I mean, it's absurd. You'd have to probably even add more teams, to be quite honest with you. Could you do it? Yeah, I guess you could. You could have Major League A and Major League B. That would be a form of relegation. It'd still be Major League Baseball, but it'd be a sub-tier. You could. It's probably not the worst idea in the world, man.
I'm just saying, when you don't have a salary cap, it allows teams like the Rockies to just exist and print money, but not compete.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. All right, top six coming up next.